In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. The fourth Sunday of Advent is always a great day in the church year. This last Sunday before the festival of Christmas is always Mary's Sunday. It's the one Sunday in the church year when even the most Protestant among us, even people who get very uncomfortable with too much praise of Mary, can legitimately take a moment to marvel at her and even adore her for allowing her little mortal body to be transformed, as St. Francis prayed that all of us might be transformed into an instrument of God's peace. We praise and honor her also because in the whole biblical story of God's call to us as human beings to be partners with God in restoring the world to the image that God intended it to be in, Mary's response in that whole history is utterly unique. In order to fully appreciate Mary, we have to remember that the angel Gabriel's visit to her is not the first divine visitation in the course of human history, biblical history. God appeared to many people before he appeared to Mary, and generally found a whole lot more resistance from the other people than he did from Mary. God appeared, if you remember, to Moses at the burning bush. And what did Moses say? Moses was there tending the flocks of his father-in-law when out of the burning bush came a voice saying, "Moses, go, would you, to Egypt? My people are in slavery there, and you need to set them free. You need to confront the Pharaoh." And what did Moses say? But I'm not well spoken, God. My brother Aaron, he's much better spoken than I am. Why don't you send him?" And God said, "I'll give you the words you need to say." And what did Moses reply? But they won't listen to me. How will they know that you sent me? What do I tell them? Couldn't you please just send someone else?" And then God came again to Jeremiah, the prophet, who was called to speak a word to the nations to challenge the injustices that had been perpetrated by the government against the poor and the weak. And what did Jeremiah say? But I'm just a boy. How can I speak up against my government when I'm just a child?" Someone reminded me after this morning's earlier service that God also, angels came and appeared to Abraham and Sarah. And how did Sarah respond? She laughed. She said, "Ha, I don't think so." And even just before Mary, there was a visitation to the priest Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. Zechariah was in the temple. He was one of the priests of the tribe of priests. And he was more prepared maybe than anybody else could have possibly been to receive a call and to respond and to know who it was that was calling. And then nevertheless, he is visited and told that even in their old age, that he and Elizabeth, who thought they were barren all these years, they would have a child. And what did he say? But how will I be sure? You must say, Zechariah, because she's going to have a baby. She'll be pregnant. That's how you can be sure. How can this happen except but through God? Moses said, "I'm not good enough." Jeremiah said, "I'm too young." Zechariah said, "I need proof. I need some assurance that it's you, God." God called Mary to give her body as a vessel through which God could emerge as flesh among us, so that God could come close to us, so that we could see and understand what it is that God wants for us. And what did Mary say? She said yes. Astonished as she was, she said, "Here am I, your servant. Let it be with me according to your word." Now, one could argue that she had no real choice in the matter. I mean, God visits you and tells you this is going to happen. Do you really have a choice? Note that we call this day the Annunciation, not the request or the invitation. It's the Annunciation. You will bear a child. And yet we know from our own experience with these things that Mary is still not completely without choice in the matter. The priest and preacher Barbara Brown Taylor, who I've quoted to you before and I'm sure will again, she says that while it's true that the angel simply announces this impending birth, Mary still has to choose whether to say yes to it or no, whether to take hold of the unknown life that this angel has held out before her, or whether to defend herself against it, however she could. Mary could have protested. She could have resisted, saying, who am I to play this role? I'm just a kid. I'm not prepared for something so important. She could have asked, how am I going to explain this to my parents? How am I going to explain this to Joseph? What will everyone think of me? Will they believe me? Will they have me stoned to death? Will this be the end of me? We, in our lives, may not have faced exactly that kind of choice in our life, but we have faced similar choices. As Barbara Brown Taylor says, like Mary, our choices often boil down to yes or no. Yes, I will embrace this opportunity that is being held out in front of me, or no, I won't. I'm going to fight it. Yes, I will explore this unexpected turn of events and see what God may have for me in it, or no, I will not. She says, sure, you can say no to your life and all of these opportunities that God presents to you. But she says, if you do, then you can rest assured that no angel will ever trouble you again. The other option is to say yes. The angel Gabriel's visit to Mary is not the first divine visitation in the course of history, but nor was it the last. Taylor says that we also have the opportunity to smuggle God into the world inside our bodies. Hear that. We have a chance to smuggle God into the world inside our bodies. We can smuggle him in by what we say and don't say with our mouths. We can smuggle him in by what we do and what we refrain from doing with our hands. Now, sure, God could come into the world of God's own doing without our assistance. God doesn't need us. But this long history of God reaching out and calling people to participate, this visitation that God makes to Mary tells us something, that apparently God is not satisfied, not interested in doing this work behind our backs or without our participation. Somewhere in your life, there is a quiet annunciation being made to you of an opportunity, maybe more than one, to become an instrument of God's peace. Maybe there's an opportunity in front of you to forgive, to take a step back towards someone with whom you have an impaired relationship. Maybe there's an opportunity for you to bring some small bit of comfort or relief to someone who is suffering. Maybe there's an opportunity for you to call attention to some situation in which someone's being treated unfairly or being discriminated against. Maybe there's some opportunity for you to put your God-given talents, your artistic work, your writing, your kindness, your compassion, to work in some way that brings light in this world. When you begin to get a glimmer of that opportunity and to see it for what it is, as God's call to you, when you begin to then wonder if you're ready or capable, if maybe you're not too young, or maybe you're too old, or maybe you'll begin to wonder what others might think of you if you really try to do this thing, then remember, Mary said yes, and so can you. Amen.